Translation.
Therefore, O Vidura, it does not pain us. Sorry. Therefore, Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanation before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you. Purport. Lord Krishna's gentle behavior before his so-called servitors, such as his father, grandfather, his elder brother, his immeasurable behavior with his so-called wives, friends, and contemporaries, his behavior as a child before his mother, Yashoda, and his naughty dealings with his younger girlfriends, cannot bewilder a pure devotee like Uddhava. Others who are not devotees are bewildered by such behavior of the Lord, who acted just like a human being. This bewilderment is explained by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajayanti mam buddha manasam tanam disvatam param bhavan abranjanto mam bhuta marishvaram. Persons with poor fund of knowledge belittle the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, not knowing his exalted position as the Lord of everything. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained his position clearly. But the didamamic atheistic student squeezes out an interpretation to suit his own purpose and misleads unfortunate followers into the same mentality. Such unfortunate persons merely pick up such slogans from a great book of knowledge, but they are unable to estimate the Lord as the Supreme Person of the Godhead. Pure devotees like Uddhava, however, are never misled by such atheistic opportunists. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Ajnana Slakaya Tatsum Yena Tasmai Shri Gure Namaha. So, from this purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing the Lord's gentle behavior before his so-called superiors, his father and family relatives and so on like this. But the atheists, sometimes we see Krishna's behavior is not befitting his so-called position. But, as it says in this purport here, his naughty dealings with his, you know, and so on, with his younger girl, cannot bewilder a pure devotee like Uddhava.
So
the question is, why does it not bewilder the pure devotee? Because the pure devotee brings Krishna under his control. Now, in 11th canto, chapter 14, text 20, Sadajatiti mam yago na sankhyayam dama udava na shavasyas tapas tratgo yata bhakti manjo jajita. My dear Uddhava, undevotional service rendered unto me by my devotees, bring me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by thus any mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity or renunciation. It's only a small purport. One may make Krishna the goal of mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, etc., yet such activities do not please the Lord, as such as direct loving service, which one practices by hearing and chanting about the Lord and executing his mission. Rupa Goswami states, Janakama Atmavatam, a devotee should simply depend on Krishna and should not unnecessarily complicate his loving service with the tendencies towards fruitive work or mental speculation. The residents of Vrindavan were simply dependent on Lord Krishna. When the great serpent Agasura appeared in the precincts of Braj, the cowherd boys, completely confident in their friendship with Lord Krishna, fearlessly marched in to the serpent's gigantic mouth. Such pure love brings the Lord under the control of the devotee.
So, So love of the devotee brings Krishna under his control.
And this means, in other words, Krishna surrenders to his devotee. Just like Krishna, he surrendered his position as the Supreme Lord when he offered himself as Arjuna's chariot driver. And therefore, the devotee, the pure devotee who controls Krishna by his love and that love is reciprocated by Krishna, with Krishna. So, now Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, we know this. But in Dwarka, Krishna is the king. He rules Dwarka. And in Vrindavan, Krishna is the son of the king and queen of the cowherd boys, of the cowherders in Vrindavan. He is their son. So does that mean that there is a difference in the love between in Dwarka and Vrindavan? The answer is no. The reason is Krishna loves the residents of Dwarka, and the residents of Dwarka love Krishna. But the difference is, in Vrindavan, you see, there's no higher and lower in love. It's just a question of the sweetness of the love, the madhurya. The residents of Vrindavan, their love was more sweeter, was more relishable than the love of the residents of Dwarka and Mathura. It says in the Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19, verses 192, 193, Puna Krishna Rati Hoya Divya Prakara Ishvara Jnana Mishra Kevala Bhakti Beva Ara. Attachment for Krishna is divided in two categories. One is attachment with awe and reverence, and the other is pure attachment. That's one, of course, 192. This is 193. Gakul Kevala Rati Ishvara Jane Hina Puri Devya Vaikuntaya Ishvara Pravana. Pure attachment without reverence is found in Goloka Vrindavan. Attachment in awe and reverence is prominent. Prominent is found in the two cities of Mathura and Dwarka and in Vaikuntha. So it's that love in Vrindavan. Because I used to think that the love of Vrindavan was higher than the love in Mathura and Dwarka. But then, reading through the different books of the Acharyas, I came to the realization that the love is there, but it's the madhurya, the sweetness of Vrindavan, the prajala, the love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. This is how they capture him. And so therefore, of course, a devotee, he does not show the external, does not show this externally. He keeps it, they keep it internally. And as it says in the purport, the pure devotees are not bewildered by such a behavior of Krishna, because the devotees, the pure devotees who are, Who are not bewildered, they come under the influence of the internal potency. And it says in the purple, as we said, Prabhupada Raisa said, those with a poor fund of knowledge, they come under the influence of the external potency. So, sometimes we see Krishna's behavior. Sometimes we've Krishna. He's a thief. So-called thief. Is he? Pardon me. Is he a thief? Is he stealing? No, he's not. He's not stealing, but apparently he is stealing. So why does he take the milk, the yogurt and the milk from the other gopis? Yeah, the elderly gopis. Because their sons come home after cow herding or looking after cow, what according to their age, looking after the calves or the cows at night time. They tell their parents, "Oh, Krishna, he killed a demon. This." So the next morning, as they're churning the milk and yogurt, this is all they're thinking about. So in their meditation, they're thinking about Krishna. As they're meditating, they're offering that milk or yogurt to Krishna. So then Krishna comes and takes it. Just like in Gauralila, when that brahmana came to the house, and in my father said, "Would you like something?" Prasad said, "No, I'll cook." So he cooked, rang the bell, and he called Krishna, and Nimai comes on the scene and takes. This happened so many times. So then we can see that this is why externally Krishna's behavior is not very good. And we see he's also, says here, the naughty dealings with his young girlfriends. Of course, he does steal externally, but internally, the reason for his dealings, his so-called stealing, is that when he stole the clothes of the young gopis as they're taking bath, they were praying to have Krishna as their husband. And according to the Vedic standard, the husband can only see the naked form of the wife. So then Krishna, he steals the hearts of all the devotees in Vrindavan. He steals their hearts. Many years ago, the devotees used to wear a t-shirt, "I lost my heart in Vrindavan. I lost my heart in Mayapur." And then Krishna, he does steal their hearts. But at the same time, there is a better thief than Krishna. Krishna may steal the hearts of the gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, every living entity, the non-moving and moving entities of Vrindavan, of all, they're all sold out for Krishna, every single. But there's one thief that is better, is a better thief, and that, of course, is Srimati Radharani, because she steals the heart of Krishna. So she's the better thief. So therefore, she also controls Krishna, but by her love. By her love, Krishna sometimes can't do anything. He cannot play his flute. He drops. He can't do anything. And therefore, he comes sometimes as a very humble coward boy and begs service from Radharani. So one of these pastimes is that this at Radhika Kulada temple in Vrindavan, you see the murtis of Radhika Kulananda. And occasionally, or once a year, you see Krishna. He's not dressed with his flute and dhoti and turban. He's dressed as a guard. Because one time Krishna was, Radharani and the gopis were sorting out, had a meeting to sorting out their services, who's getting what services. And then Krishna, he's so enchanted by Radharani that he wants to serve. So he says, can I do some service to you? And the gopis, they say, no, you can't, no, I'm sorry. Said, there must be something on the list. Give me the list, please. So they give him the list. Right at the bottom, there's a chokidar. Said, I can do that. I can do that service. It's a very simple service. And then the leader says, you know, this service means you have to guard. This is the bodyguard of Srimati Radharani. This means you have to guard our Swamini, our queen. And she says, I can do that, but. And then Lita replies, no, you can't do that. Because we stole your flute very easily. And your flute is meant to be your best friend, you know. If we can steal your best friend, how can you, if you can't guard your best friend, how can you guard our best friend? So therefore, and then Krishna realizes they're right, but Radharani says, okay, let him do it. But you have to dress up like a chokidar. So you see that darshan, where he's got a helmet and a sword and a shield in his hand. And so therefore, so for us to, as sadhakas, for us to come to that position of love, we have to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas and follow their shiksha through their writings. And of course Srila Prabhupada in his books as well, in the Nectar of Devotion. We have to develop this love for Krishna. There is now the process is from Shraddha up to Prema, then Prema up to Mahabhav. This is the process given in the Madhurya Kandamani. And the Madhurya Kandamani is a very, very nice book. It actually, the author explains the process very nicely, how to develop love. And of course, the mercy factor is the main thing as well. We have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. In Gaura Lila, Nityananda, and in Krishna Lila, you have to get the mercy of Balaram. Because he serves Krishna in many different ways, Balaram. Like the clothes that Krishna is wearing now on the altar, that is none different from Balaram. The bed he sleeps on, things like this, is none different from Krishna. Non-different from Balaram. And even some of the leelas are arranged by Balaram through another potency, and with cooperation with Purnamasi and Vrindadevi. So therefore we have to develop this love. Of course, for us, we were given the easiest process by Lord Caitanya. Where is it now? We are given the easiest process by Lord Caitanya. Just by chant, he came to give us a chance to enter Vrindavan. By chanting the Maha Mantra, the mantra for this age of Kali Yuga, and this is why, first of all, we worship Lord Nityananda, and then we worship Lord Caitanya, because without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we cannot approach Lord Caitanya. And the beauty, to see the beautiful forms with love, the beautiful forms of Radha Krishna, Gaunitai, whoever our Ishtadevas are. It's described in Caitanya Bhagavat. The beauty of Lord Caitanya. that, you know, we can't imagine how beautiful they are. We can't imagine how beautiful Radharani is. No sufficient words in English. There's only one word I've seen in the English dictionary that can describe the beauty of Radha and Krishna. That is the word quintessent, or quintessent, which means sublime, sublime beauty. Now, all the scriptures are given descriptions how beautiful Radha and Krishna are. And the gopis and the... And all the personalities in Vrindavan. But there is a beauty, you could say, that is more sweeter than that. It's not higher or lower. That is the form of Lord Caitanya. So we know in Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna are separated for the sake of their pastimes, and their beauty is incomparable, the quintessent. So Vrindavan Das Thakur in Caitanya Bhagava Madhya Kanda 8.227 Aparupa Krishna Yasa Aparupa Nitya Anande Nayam Bari Deha Kesaba Bharatya. Mahaprabhu's beauty is unequaled and unsurpassed, defeating even Radha and Krishna's beauty. Krishna has no Mahabhav, all his followers filled with Ananda see him in his dancing. So if the form of Radha and Krishna separately are beautiful, we cannot imagine the combined form of two beauties in one body. We cannot imagine it. So therefore, we have to we cannot imagine the beauty of Lord Caitanya. In one lecture I heard from Ayendra some years ago, the lecture was about 4 hours lecture, but exactly in the middle he says the beauty of Lord Caitanya is the quintessence of the quintessent. No beauty can defeat him. So Lord Caitanya has come to give us Nityananda has given us a chance to develop this love of God. And all we have to do is just be serious, because everything in our Krishna consciousness comes down to our bhajan, our personal bhajan, everything. Sometimes we have problems. We've got problems with the body, problems with the mind, you know, external problems spiritually. And when I have these problems spiritually, the first thing I look or examine is my bhajan okay? And if I examine my bhajan, something is wrong, then problems arise. So everything comes down to our bhajan. And through that, and if our bhajan is okay, problems may come, but we will not be disturbed by them. We will not be disturbed. So I'll stop there. And I will try. Is there any questions or answers or corrections? I will try to answer.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thanks for turning everything to rasa always. I was just wondering, not what you think of it, that Krishna is known as rasa, murti, enjoyer of all rasas. And we know that Madhurya rasa is highest, contains all rasas within, in fullest extent.
Yeah.
So then what's the need then for Krishna to manifest to different personalities in different places to enjoy these lower rasas separately if he can enjoy them within Vrindavan all together? So what's the need for...
What do you mean? Sorry, I can't... No.
Like all rasas. Krishna wants to enjoy all rasas within Vrindavan. Particularly Madhura rasa. They contain all rasas in fullest, so he enjoys them there. So what is needed for separately?
The reason is because the devotees, they have, not every devotee is in congenial love. Not every devotee. Some are in friendship, some in sakya ras, and some in parental ras. So Krishna performs different pastimes with those devotees in their individual relationship. Now, like the relationship between Mother Yashoda and the gopis is different. But it's still sweet. As you said, the Santa Dasya, Sakya, Vasalya, they're all in Madhurya. They're all sweet, But the actual relationship is different. Because they've got their individual relationship.
Therefore, there is no, as you mentioned, there is no lower or higher, because devotees in Dwaraka fully enjoy rasa.
Yeah, yeah.
Devotees in any Vaikuntha fully enjoy. And every now and then fully enjoy, so there's no lower or higher.
Yeah, devotees, they see different, some devotees before, according to their relationship, they see Krishna differently. Just like in Jiva Dharma, I forget their names now, Srinivas may remember them. In Mayapur, sees his guru. Now, one's in Sakya Ras, one's in Madhurya Ras. And the spiritual master knows it. He knows. They recognize it. The spiritual master recognizes it. But the spiritual master, he looks up. Their spiritual master gives them instruction according to their relationship. So one of them is that he tells them to go to Jagannath Puri, both of them. And the one who's in Madhurya Ras, he said, you have to please take instruction from one, I forget his name now, in Jagannath Puri. But they both go together initially. So they both go initially to hear instruction from this devotee in Jagannath Puri, elevated devotee in Jagannath Puri. After a while, the one who's in Sakya Ras he realizes, I'm in Sakya Rasa, I can't hear these things about Madhurya Rasa, I can't hear it. So then he really humbly goes back to eventually he returns back to Navadvipa. And the one who was a Madhurya Ras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jivadharma describes that he left his body in Jagannath Puri and he went to Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah. And anything else?
Thank you, Dorgada. Why is Lord Chaitanya? I mean, he's often called the hidden avatar. Why is he not known?
Sorry,
the hidden avatar.
Yeah.
Why is he not known as much as Krishna is known around the world? Why is he so? Because I mean, obviously, with Lord Chaitanya, if he was known more, surely others would take up Krishna consciousness. So I just wondered why he's like.
He's not. Are you saying why he's not well known?
Yeah, as well known as Krishna.
Because he is the hidden avatar. Right? But he is, in one sense, he's not known, but in one sense he is known. When we go on Harinam, the holy name is not different from the person. The holy name is actually more merciful than the person. Holy name is so. Those who go on Harinam on Saturday morning, Saturday evening, any evening, they wherever on this planet, they do Harinam Sankirtan. Congress, you're chanting the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya is actually there.
It's mentioned in Shastra, actually, that as Lord Chaitanya comes as a devotee, he doesn't say, I'm God. Except in few cases, like he displays his form to Ramananda Raya and some others. But it's mentioned that Lord Chaitanya in this age is known through his devotees. This is how you know Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
Through his devotees.
That's there as well, yeah.
That's how you know. So those who are fortunate, they know him. We know.
Yeah.
We accept.
Yeah. It's like what Truno said, you know. A Nimai Pandit, when in his scholarly pastimes, a few devotees recognized him that he was God. They recognized it. But they kept it to themselves. Only after when he took initiation from an Ishwarapuri, that Nimai Pandit came a different person, then they recognized him. Because as Nimai Pandit, he would be playing all sorts of tricks on them, and defeating them as well. So they didn't recognize him. But after he came back from Gaya, he started the Sankirtan movement from Srivasangam. Before that, he wasn't doing that. He was just a pundit, you know. Okay. Hare Krishna.